And now what I want to do is calculate the density of states, where I ask how many states are there in a certain frequency range or in a certain energy range. And in order to do this, I need to apply boundary conditions. And there are two common boundary conditions. There are fixed boundary conditions, which you could achieve for light by just taking a metal box. So you have an empty metal box, just vacuum. And if you take the metal box and heat it to some temperature, then there will be photons inside, just from the thermal. It's black body radiation, basically. We put photons inside the box. And a metal box will force the electric field to go to zero at the boundaries. So you get these fixed boundary conditions, and the lowest energy, lowest frequency, longest wavelength solution would be this one, where there's a half a wavelength in the box. And the next one would have a whole wavelength, the next one would have three half wavelengths, and so forth. And the other kind of boundary conditions that are often used are called periodic boundary conditions. And in this case, what happens is that whatever is going out of the system on the right reappears on the left. And this only happens in video games. It doesn't happen in reality. But it's they are convenient boundary conditions because essentially you eliminate the boundary completely. So they're... You eliminate all surface effects from their problems because there is no real boundary. When it gets close to the edge here, it just keeps going and reappears over there, and the boundary has no effect. And so these boundary conditions on the right are more convenient than the fixed boundary conditions because, for instance, if you have a symmetry of a crystal and you want to look for a solution that has this symmetry, if you take periodic boundary conditions and move everything over one step, the one on the end come over on the left-hand side, and it's still the same situation as you had before. And with fixed boundary conditions, you have to worry about what happens at the boundary when you translate everything one to the right. So usually for mathematical convenience, people like to use periodic boundary conditions instead of fixed boundary conditions. And with the periodic boundary conditions, here I've drawn the longest wavelength solution with periodic boundary conditions with a box of size L that will fit in the box. And there are two solutions like this. One is moving right and one is moving left. And so the number of solutions with the same wavelength is almost the same in these two cases. So here... Oh, sorry. Here on the left, I've got these two wavelengths, which correspond to two solutions here, one moving left and one moving right. And then here, I've also got one moving left and one moving right, and that corresponds to these two. So the number of states in a certain wavelength range is the same on the left and on the right. And we're going to calculate things just looking at what's just using periodic boundary conditions. But if you calculated them with fixed boundary conditions, you would get the same answer.